This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. As I said, Mark Zuckerberg survived day two of his congressional testimony today. It was the House Commerce Committee. Questions were a tad more informed and pointed than the Senate provided yesterday. California Democrat Anna Eshoo represents Silicon Valley.
Are you willing to change your business model in the interest of protecting individual privacy?
Congresswoman, we have made and are continuing to make changes to reduce the amount of
data. Are you willing to change your business model in the interest of protecting individual privacy?
Congresswoman, I'm not sure what that means.
Well, maybe we can help here. Facebook sells ads against what it knows its users to be interested in. One way, maybe the way, that they figure out what you're interested in is the like button, that little thumbs up that may well be the most powerful tool in social media. Every single time we click on it, we narrow ourselves down beautifully for advertisers and researchers and others. And the very nature of what that button stands for, the validation that a whole lot of people get from it, keeps us coming back for more. Marketplace's Rima Kreis explains that one.
Before you and I knew it as the like button, Facebook developers had another name for it, the awesome button.
It's one of those things that was lost in history.
Soleo Cuervo helped design the feature about a decade ago, also lost in history. He says before the blue thumbs up, they experimented with a star symbol, a plus sign. He says the feature kept failing so-called Zuck reviews.
We used to call it the curse of the awesome button because the project felt a little bit cursed. It just always seemed to get stuck in review.
Cuervo, who now owns a design and venture firm, says that's partly because developers were scared that the like or awesome button would make people lazy, that it would lead to less posting. They were dead wrong.
Rather than cannibalizing comments, it did the opposite. It created an environment in which people were more motivated to leave posts.
The like button officially left product purgatory in 2009. And since then, we've seen iterations of that little iconic symbol all over social media, including on this popular app owned by Facebook.
This is my Instagram. Oh, I got a like. Who is it? I don't know who this person is.
In Los Angeles, outside a mall with her friend, 23-year-old Gabby Weir scrolls through her Instagram. She shows me pictures of her mimosa-filled brunches at cliffsides in Italy, lots of selfies. And under each carefully worded caption, dozens of likes.
I think like my median like is like, I don't know, 115.
Which is a lot.
And she says sometimes if a picture doesn't perform, she'll take it down. Still, Weir says how many likes she gets, not really important. Her friend standing next to her, Amber Tolliver, gives her the side eye.
And I really couldn't care less what people think of
me. Oh, yeah, right.
Yes, that's true. I don't care what people think of me in terms of
so
like.
How would you know how many likes that you're getting? Like, why would you even think about it if it didn't matter to you? Like,
no, I'm not saying it doesn't matter.
So it does matter.
The thing is, it matters to a lot of people. The reason the like button has been so successful is because people, well, they like to be liked, says Adam Alter, a marketing professor at NYU.
The experience of getting a like is a lot like a drug taken by someone who's addicted to the drug. It's just a massive dose of reward. It's a huge boost to well-being.
Alter says the like button is what makes social media platforms so irresistible, sort of like a slot machine. You never know how well a post is going to do, so you keep going back.
That's how the attention economy works. It's critical that people keep devoting their attention to that particular platform. Otherwise, it loses its key source of revenue.
Money, he says, is not the currency here. Our personal data is. The more time we spend on the platform, the more data we're handing over to advertisers. And when we like things on Facebook, we're making their jobs easier. Say I like Lady Gaga on Facebook. I wouldn't really, but if I did, then I could expect to see ads maybe for her concert on my newsfeed. That's not an entirely new concept, says Sandra Matz, a professor of organizational behavior at Columbia University.
The new part is that we're now taking those interests and those behaviors and we're translating it into psychological profiles.
Matt says researchers have created models tying our likes to certain personality traits. For example, following Lady Gaga means I'm more likely to be an extrovert. And Matt says if you tally up all the likes someone makes on Facebook, personality predictions become that much more accurate. With just 10 likes, she says a computer model can predict your personality better than a colleague could. 150 likes, and it's better than a parent.
And around 250 to 300 likes to be better than someone's spouse even.
Matz's research shows that targeting ads to people based on their personality led to more clicks and buys. She says this idea of personalization
can have a very positive effect on people's lives if it's done right. And if it's done in a way that is more transparent to the user than what we currently have.
Because without transparency, she says, that kind of targeting, it can exploit our weaknesses. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.